word for songs that helps us live here in this life. And now we come to this book, Precious Word of God. We know this has the answer to all lives here, everything that we need to know. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that took a bow in our heart the day we were saved to help us understand that which he inspired man to write, that we might know the will of God. Put it together in systematic order with his help to see what God is doing through time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles first and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read verse 1, 2, and 3, and then read verse 6, and then we'll get into the message this morning. We know this by heart. It's the definition of faith from a biblical standpoint. The writer of Hebrews said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear." And then he gives us some instructions on how faith works. By Abel, he said, by faith Abel offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Then verse 6, he said, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, and him being God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I want to speak to you a few minutes this morning on biblical faith. Biblical faith. Now, there's a lot of faith we use in the physical world, and we go through it, but I'll have you to know there's a difference between biblical faith and human faith in this world. Human faith in this world most likely is kind of a hope-so thing. But biblical faith is that which is seen through the eyes of faith, which has to do with the spiritual man, and God makes them real to us, and the world looks at it and they can't understand it. It's foolish to them. So we want to take a little look at biblical faith, and we'll be on this a couple of Sundays at different subjects about biblical faith, so we get an idea to dig into it, how it helps us in our life in serving the living God. You know, true biblical faith in God leads to obedience to God. And it always starts out with Jesus Christ. No one has any real true faith in God until they start with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the beginning of our faith in him if we want to walk with the true and living God. Now, you know, you have to obey. To be obedient, you have to obey. So for a person to be obedient to God to start with, they have to obey what God said about his son so you can have an avenue to God. And then once you trust Christ as Savior, to obey, to be obedient is that you obey him not only for what he said about salvation, but as you walk with him by faith, you learn what it is that God says he wants us to be doing in time while we're here, the glory of the new creation in us that's headed one day to a different body than this body. While we're here in this body, though, there's things that God wants us to do, and so we obey him in obedience to do what he says for us to do. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1 through 6, we see Christ, it shows Christ as a superior person. When you look in Hebrews chapter 7 through 10, Christ exercises a superior priesthood. The first six verses, we see that he is a superior person. And God gives us that insight, no matter who's on this earth, Christ is superior to them. No matter who has lived on this earth, Christ is superior to him. No matter who lives in the future on this earth, as far as humanity is concerned, Christ is superior to them. And then he also tells us, not only that he's superior, but Christ exercised a superior priesthood. He's not only just a man, he's God in the flesh. And why he's here, he took up this era of the priesthood, and he was a superior priesthood. That means he's beyond what Aaron's sons were in the Old Testament. He's beyond what anyone may claim to be today. Of course, we don't have priests today, we have saints of God. Amen? Amen. We're all, if you're saved, you're a child of God. Amen. And you're serving God. In fact, you are a type of priest yourself that you can represent God while we're here, headed home to glory. And then, of course, Hebrews chapter 11 to 13, God gives us a superior principle. And that principle is around this word faith, F-A-I-T-H. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Your faith will be developed only by you, what you hear the Word of God. It won't be developed much about experiences unless you understand how those experiences are involved in your life, and God gives you understanding biblically how they are. You remember those things we talked about before, that when we heard the Word of God taught and preached, we observe, we interpret, and then we made it applicable. That's very important. And I can't express this. I've used that a lot in the last few weeks because that works in any phase of your life, in the world otherwise. You observe what it is you need to, and then you interpret it. You observe what you're looking at for your life. You interpret that for your life. Then you make it applicable for your life. In the same way when it comes to the Word of God. So here, God wants His people to walk by faith. You can't enter into the family of God without faith, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart God's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it's faith in Christ. We understand that. But when you get into the family of God, then it's faith also exercised to walk with Him. And where are you going to learn to walk from Him? Certainly not from this world. It comes from this book, as the Holy Spirit teaches us in this life. So God wants His children to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that tells us we don't walk by sight physically. We walk by faith, which gives us sight spiritually. There's eyes will never pick up that I have here anything in the spiritual world. I can see about anything in the physical world that I can look at, that I can see. And then some things I can't see with these eyes. I look through a telescope or a microscope, and I see things I can't see with this eye. But there's another realm, the spiritual world. And we are spirit. One part of the third of us is a spirit. And that makes us in the image of God to some degree, whereas God can, who is a spirit, can tap into us when we will listen to what He says and trust Him by faith and walk with Him by faith. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, is probably the most concise and classical description of what faith does and how it works. Its works are found everywhere we're at when it comes to the things of God. Now, biblical faith rests entirely. Now, hear this. Biblical faith rests entirely upon this book. Amen. We don't have no other source. Oh, I can know there's got to be a supreme being, but don't tell me who he is. So if I don't have the Bible, I mean that today. If I don't have the Bible, and that's God's way of revealing us, which is God's holy word, ladies and gentlemen, I'll never know what biblical faith is. And so you can see why this world don't understand. They put biblical faith on the same plane with human faith. And by the way, human faith is used a lot. You got faith, you got in your car this morning and had faith it cranked. Did anybody's faith fail that didn't crank? I mean, there's things you do. You get up in the morning and go to work and hope you got a job when you get there. That's faith. You use human faith. That's not what gets us along with God, though. We have to believe Him. He is a rewarder of them. You have to first believe that He is, Hebrews 11, 6. To believe that He is to believe that He says what He says and means what He says. And it simply means this, that when He talks about Jesus Christ as the way to Him, then we have to believe Him because that's the only way we can believe that He is. And then once we get into the family, He says, touches us, that we are to believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So it's more than just getting into heaven and have a ticket to heaven, or getting in the family and having a ticket to heaven and maybe not going to hell. It means there's, as long as God lets us live in time in the new creation of us, there's a work to be done, and He does that through His children. So Bible faith rests entirely upon God's Word. Bible faith is having full confidence in God's Word when you understand that. Now, faith affects God's driven purpose in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say something may surprise you, but I believe this. I do not believe that pain moves God much, but faith will. I want you to know also, I do not believe that tears move God much, but obedience will. If you want to know what moves God, faith in Him and obedience to Him will move God's heart. Sometimes we move because we're hurting and tears come our way, but tears don't move God. He knows things as they are, not what we think they are. He knows things that He knows. It's an amazing thing. You don't have to teach God anything. He knows everything. When you know everything, you have a different way of approaching things. But yet He deals with, isn't it amazing, so great how God is. He always condescends to our level to deal with us in time like we deal with time. And He deals in that through His Word as He explains things to us in this life. So faith affects God's driven purpose in our life. And unbelief then, if I look at this and believe, know that faith and obedience moves the heart of God, then unbelief is the worst sin of all. Because, ladies and gentlemen, unbelief is one, if one stays in that state of unbelief, God has no remedy for them. If Jesus Christ is not who God said he is, he has no remedy for sin. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Without Christ, there is no remedy for sin. Without Christ, we're hopeless and doomed, as Paul said to the church of Ephesus. We are hopeless and doomed without him. But in him, oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Amen. See the difference? There's a great difference in the way we look at God through faith, eyes of faith, and the way we look through it through the flesh, in eyes of the flesh, you see. So the only way to come to God is to come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Man has already tried works, and they failed. For 6,000 years he's tried works, and they are still falling. Why? Because works will not get us into the kingdom of God. It takes more than works. It takes righteousness, and only God has the righteousness that can stand with him on the other side. So I don't want to believe a lie, do you? I don't want to believe a lie. If I believe it works against me to heaven, I'm believing a lie according to the scriptures. Because Jesus Christ is the only one to ever get me to heaven. Amen. And if you're headed there, just the way you got in, if you not got him, you're not going to get in. And I am not either. Or anyone else who may listen to my radio upstream at this time when you stream. So I don't want to believe a lie. Therefore, I'm not going to accept the fact that a man can work his way to heaven. Because the Bible teaches us you're saved by grace. And not yourself. It's through faith. And it's in through the Lord Jesus Christ. Your experience with God is your message to someone else. So if a person believes that works is going to get saved, get a person saved, his experience is going to give the person the wrong message. If Jesus Christ is who he is, and we give Christ and talk Christ and live for Christ and obey that which God says in his word about doing, then our message is going to say to the world there's something different. Could it be possible there's something in the name of Christianity today that the world is missing because it's not true Christianity? Could it be that the name Christian has been to lead to an off-ramp somewhere or another rather than on the true road towards the Lord Jesus Christ? I say it could be because there's a lot of folks now claim to be Christians. They have no fruit of Christian whatsoever. That's right. Look at people. And a lot of times you have these television programs that set forth these things. There's no way in this world. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God says there's a righteousness we can't establish for ourselves, but he'll give it to us. And once God moves in and that righteousness begins to, we begin to see that's our credentials so far as to get where he's at, then you're going to realize there's another side of this. That's the unbelief, unsaved, ungodly world. And there's the side of God and belief and being saved in Christ and being imputed to his righteousness. And a child of God's going to want to live this way rather than this way. That's all there is to it. If you're saved, you can't go back to this. If you do, you're going to be a miserable person. The Holy Spirit lives in us for that. Unbelief is the worst sin, and unbelief, even a child of God, can do damage to us in our Christian life. One person said that faith is believing what you know is not so. They say it's a leap in the dark. It's not reality. But Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that's not true. It is so. It is right. As a matter of fact, he tells us it's substance, hoped for, expected. He tells us it's evidence. We'll look at that in just a few minutes. Hebrews 1 says differently. It is not, and hear me, don't misunderstand, it's not our hold on Christ. It's not our joy in Christ. It's not our faith in Christ that saves us. It's Christ himself that saves us. These are just things, ladies and gentlemen, instruments that we can look to Christ through and with. But without Christ, you can have all the faith in anything you want. If you use the word faith as that's what gets it, you've got to have an object of faith, and Jesus Christ is our object. And I'm glad to know that when God set the salvation principle up and the way of life up and the new creation up, he set it through Christ. And when you read, you understand that is not something that's just play with. That's reality. You get born into the family of God, and you have a reality, if you're truly born again, of something you didn't have before you trusted Christ as Savior. And God Almighty becomes an instrument to work through our hearts and lives. And so then, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as the present And also treat the invisible as been seen. Now, the world thinks you're crazy, thinks I'm crazy. What are you saying, preacher? You mean you can look into beyond this life as far as the soul is concerned and treat the future as present? Yes, that's the reason we live for the Lord. You mean to tell me you can look into this invisible world and see things that the world cannot see? Yes, because we don't look with these eyes. We look in this book with these eyes and mentally receive it, but at the same time, it goes further than here than just knowledge. It comes here, which gives us a reality. Amen. And eyes of faith. And that's what this few verses are telling us. Let me give you two quick points now, biblical faith. First of all, I want to show you what biblical faith is not. Biblical faith is not mere human hope. That's what the world has. If God could give us no more than human hope, we wouldn't have much. But God gives us more than that, ladies and gentlemen. Human hope is based upon wishful thinking. It's based upon human desire. And when you have wishful thinking and human desire, here doubt comes in. And suddenly hope raises the question, what shall I do? Who can I turn to? What shall I do? Faith is based, though, not on human reason, but on God's word. What shall I do? You think I'm going to go ask some humanistic person what I should do? No, I'm going to go to this book. Why? The Holy Spirit of God will help me see what I need to do if I'm truly born again. And so will he you. Come on now. You act like you don't have the Holy Spirit this morning. If not, we better get all of us hit the altar down here and let me help somebody. Because, ladies and gentlemen, without him, you're not saved. God gives us his Holy Spirit when you and I get saved. That is a biblical principle. Faith is based upon God's word alone. And you look in Ephesians 3:17, he said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You say, preacher, how do you know Christ is in there? He tells us in this verse that Christ dwells in our heart by faith. You say, well, preacher, I have faith. Is it faith enough to make you walk a certain way? Walk in that faith that we're in turn honors God and honors Christ so he can honor you and I? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I are walking by faith, faith will honor God, and God would honor us because of that faith. On the other hand, if we're walking just head knowledge, we're no more than the devil's word. They believe there's a God and tremble. See the difference? And I'm afraid we're living a time today we get in here because that's the way we're programmed for the time we get out of school to where we're at. It's all here. If it's here, we have the ability to make decisions on it without going to recessing in our heart. And so biblical faith is more than just head knowledge. The demons of hell believe in there's a God and they tremble and they have no hope. They have no hope. You and I are headed to that place where God said he made for the devil and his angels. On the other hand, we don't have to go there if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the answer to everything that we face in this life. Biblical faith is not mere human faith. Then, for us to function in life, natural faith, which is human faith, is necessary to exercise so that we can do things in life. There's a lot of ways we can get in where we live at where human faith works because we believe that and we do things because we believe that. You get up in the morning, go to work, and believe you got a job. And you come home, you believe your house is going to be there until something proves that's wrong. What I'm saying to you, human faith is just a mere thing we use every day in our life, but it will not get us to heaven itself. Everything that we use in life, we must trust someone for. So a faith in God is not necessary, it's not human faith. Trusting in God, ladies and gentlemen, faith in God is not just human nature, it is supernatural. Trusting in God is supernatural. You're talking about what the world wants to see with the physical eye, with supernatural miracles in this day. To trust in God will bring about even spiritual things that supernatural, many times the world will know nothing about. You know, faith is a gift from God. In Romans 12, verse 3, he said, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Faith is not mental assent, because mental assent is no more knowledge. And that can puff one up. Satan can get to a man's mind to the place if he influences him mentally, make a man be puffed in his knowledge to believe that God don't exist. It's got to move further than that. It's got to bring a new creation, and it will through Jesus Christ as their Savior. Biblical faith is of the heart, it's not of the head. To agree that God exists, hear me now, to agree that God exists and not trust Him is not biblical faith. To believe even that God exists, man alive, most of this world's that way. Most of this world's believing in some type of God. But it's not the biblical God that God has given information about Himself. And when we find our place to that place, to the degree that it exists, it's not biblical faith. Faith is not psychological attitude. Here with psychological attitude, we may have positive thinking, and it may have some good results in our life, ladies and gentlemen, but it's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is finding what God said and acting upon that because we believe that not only God is, but He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. I'm glad I don't just think about Him when I come to church on Sunday. Amen. I'm glad He moves my heart to understand that when I get close, more in church I am, the closer I can get to Him if this book has been preached like it should be preached. And I'm glad to know that I can get up with Him in the morning, I can go to bed at night and close out the day and say, thank you, Holy Spirit, thank you, God, thank you, my Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for bringing me through this day. I look to You to keep me safe, and dear God, if I won't dream anything, let me dream about going somewhere and preach, amen. Don't let me dream some foolish thing that in this life that just wastes this time. If I'm going to waste my time in the sleep, I'm going to do something to Him for God, don't you? Amen. That means you're walking closer to Him when you feel that way too. And here in this life, faith is not just mental assets. Biblical faith is of the heart, not of the head. Faith is not sight. It's based upon mere sensual perception of human reason. We live by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So that's what biblical faith is not. Then if you find out what biblical faith is not, let's look at what biblical faith is. And we see that here in Hebrews 11. Faith, he says, is, notice, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What does the word substance mean? It means the reality, the solid, the quality of something. It's really a scientific term for us to see spiritually the things of God, even though we can't see them with the physical eye. Folks, I want to say something. Maybe you think I'm stupid. I believe that God exists as much so as I, more so than I believe this desk is right here. You know why? Leave this here a period of time, it'll rot. God will always be the same. That's how much my faith is in who He is. I mean, God is everything or He's nothing. And I see that in this great physical life. Substance. The real existence of something. This is to believe God as He promises us things until God replaces the image that He puts in our mind by faith. And He does this with the actuality when you see it. Right now, as I look and I always think about a veil and looking beyond this, so I can see right here, this is as far as I can see in the spiritual world. And suddenly God opened my eyes and I'm moving, you see me into the spiritual world and looking around. And now when I get to the point that I really see things, not with just spiritual eyes, but with sight, even of the body, then it's no longer faith. These eyes will never pick up the things in the spiritual world. These eyes are created to get that which reflects light. We take things that God created, remake it. All of this reflects light. Reflects light, my eye operates correctly. I can look at that wall and I see what it is, tell what man has made it into, give a name to it. You can do that. But the spiritual world can't do that. The spiritual eyes cannot look beyond that wall or beyond what we see in matter. There's a great difference. When God created something for these eyes to operate, He created atoms and molecules and matter, which is flesh, which we look in the fleshly world, in time. Matter's in the world, and we're in a body of flesh. That's all we can see that's in atoms and molecules and matter. But when it comes to the spiritual eyes, He's given us ability to see beyond the flesh. But wait a minute, preacher. Every time I look, there's things I can't even see with these eyes. I have to get a microscope. That's right, but you're still seeing what's in the flesh. Well, I can't see what's out in space either. Unless I get a telescope, you still can see when you see it what's in the flesh. But I'm telling you, there's a world that's beyond the flesh. And the spiritual eye sees it. And so what God is telling us, the Holy Spirit, who's come to live in us, you can't see the Holy Spirit. But He's there. And I'll give you the spiritual eyes you need to see me as you hide the Word of God in your heart, not just mentally memorize. A lot of folks talk about memorizing Scripture. You can't be hurt by memorizing, but just memorizing Scripture won't be enough unless you let it fall in your heart. That means you're going to do something about those Scriptures once you begin to understand what they mean. So faith is a substance and evidence of things not seen. As I look at this faith reaches out into, faith has an object. The purpose of God's law is not confusion. It's order. His principles are here to help us live for Him. And the person of Jesus Christ creates our peace as we begin to apply the principles. A lot of places, even Psalm 112 can give some good insight about how we are when it comes to principles of God. He says, the psalmist said, praise the Lord. Bless the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in His commandments. He goes on and said, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Wealth and riches shall be in His house, and His righteousness endure forever. Notice, wealth and riches, but righteousness means more than wealth and riches. The righteousness is needed. I could gain all the wealth in the world and lose my soul. But righteousness is needed to get to heaven. That's the most important thing. Wealth and riches will not buy righteousness. But it's nothing wrong if you have His righteousness and you're serving God and you're faithful to the cause of Christ, then God says that wealth will be seen there. It may not be measured in the way the eyes of the world, but it will be measured. He said, a good man showeth favor. He said, surely he will not move forever. The righteous shall be the everlasting remembrance. He said this, the righteous shall not be afraid of evil things. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire even upon his enemies. Then he said in reverse of that to the wicked in verse 10, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He'll see the wicked shall see the righteous, and eventually it will be a result of grievance to him. He may try to destroy him to start with, but in the end, God says that the righteousness will be a grievance to that person who is wicked. And he goes on, he said, the wicked person shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. That is, he'll bite his tongue and just completely disappear. He said, the desire of the wicked shall perish. See the difference? When you talk about these two worlds we're talking about here. So faith, the purpose of God is order. It's not confusion. His principles are to help us live for Him. Now, a deceiver doesn't his work to confuse us, but God never does anything to confuse us. If we get confused, it's not God. He's laying it out for us as simple as He can to understand. Faith has an object. The object can be right or the object can be wrong. You can exercise faith, human faith, and some things be right, some things be wrong. You can exercise, biblical faith. And if it's not based on biblical faith completely, you could exercise some things that are wrong. So that's the reason we have to study, show ourselves approved of the Lord, and realize that we have a responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. What a great responsibility to own a Bible, and a King James Bible especially. Amen. Faith has an object. Faith reaches into the spiritual dimension and gives substance to spiritual realities. Faith is the only thing. My physical eyes will never reach into the spiritual world until God Himself does something to condescend to the level that we're in as far as our human life in the flesh is concerned. And so faith reaches in that spiritual world and gives a dimension of substance to spiritual realities. In other words, not only is faith substance, that's a scientific word for us to understand, they're there. They're analyzed. What God said is true, much more so true than what we say about how old this earth is. What God says in this book is much more true than anything that people say. Well, this earth is about 3 or 4 million years old. I think about the fellow who said he was working in a museum, and they come around talking about the earth somewhere or another, and someone said, sir, could you tell me how old this the earth is? He said, well, let's see, it's 3 million 3 years old. And the guy said, well, how could you have it so precise? He says, obvious. He said, when I came to work here, they said it was 3 million years old, and I've been working 3 years. Amen. That's about how foolish man is, right? We estimate and claim it to be reality when we don't know what we're talking about in the flesh. But God says all faith is evidence, too. What's this? Evidence is something you can take into court to prove your case. Everything rests on the evidence. God has said everything I'm telling you that's evidence, what I say rests upon the evidence. You can't see it physically, but it's there. And one day you'll see the actuality of what you see now in faith. And God said, listen, Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As substance is for the scientific mind, hear this, as man say, well, you can't see anything scientific about this. God said substance is scientifically that just you understand for the scientific mind. On the other hand, evidence is for the legal mind. You go to court, you better have evidence. If not, you won't win your case. And you think of a legal mind. God says, what I made, what I'm saying is evidence. It'll stand up. It may not stand up in man's court, but it'll stand up in my court. Because then when you get out of this territory of time and not walking by faith, you're going to see the actuality of what I'm talking about. So biblical faith is based on the Word of God. It's based on substance for the scientific mind. It's based on evidence for the legal mind that you may understand it. God is breaking it down to our level so we can look at things though we can't see them with the spiritual eye without the Holy Spirit of God, without the Bible. He's breaking it down for us who do look into that world to understand. There's terms in this world we can understand. It's kind of like a story thrown alongside, a parable of something thrown alongside, so we can understand what happens here. And God said, that principle will work where I'm at. I have substance, scientific mind. I have evidence from the legal mind, you see. Biblical faith is based on the Word of God. Now, it's not based on human feelings in the visible sense realm. What God is saying is not based on human feelings. It's based on the absolute Word of God. You can trust it. It's based on the fact of what God says in His Word. God wants our faith to rest upon Him while He's away. Now, He's present here, but we can't see Him. But we can trust Him. You can trust Him. I can get right here and kneel. I can stand right here and pray. And ladies and gentlemen, it's as real if He would be there where I could see Him with my physical eyes. You say, preacher, that's reading, you're dumb. Well, let me go to heaven dumb then, amen? Thank God for that. I'd rather be dumb, go to heaven, be wise and not go there. Or have be intellectual and not go there. God wants our faith to rest upon Him. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. That's what He said in verse 3. Through faith. Well, everybody's spending billions of dollars trying to find out where we came from. Bless God, put that money somewhere else. We know where we came from. I mean, why use tax money for that which you would never find out, seeking it that way? And yet God has given us the answer here. We can look into that. Through faith, we understand the worlds are framed. But without faith, and that's what Hebrews 11:6 says. And hear me, ladies and gentlemen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now listen, there may be hundreds of ways you and I could please God. Amen? Do you not think there's some ways that probably God could be pleased? But you do 1,000 ways without faith, you'll never please God. You cannot please God without faith. Because it's only faith that you and I can understand what pleases the heart of God. And then move towards that in obedience as He speaks to our heart along that line. You see, when faith does its work by making invisible things substance and evidence. Now hear this. When faith literally does its work by making invisible things we cannot see with the physical eye, substance, which is the scientific mind, and evidence, which is the legal mind that we can look at here, then when the actuality comes into view, here's the thing. God has said, I'm taking substance to satisfy scientific mind, and I'm taking evidence to satisfy the legal mind, and I want you to know, one of these days when the actuality comes into view, the images which is faith is performing is going to vanish away. In my mind, I know there's a street of going to heaven. In my mind, I know there's a Jerusalem going to come down and fall, as John said in Revelation. In my mind, I know there's a throne where God sat in it. But right now, in my mind, it's there by faith. But one day, faith is going to diminish to nothing, and I'm going to see it with my own eyes. You see? I won't need, once faith materializes, I don't need faith anymore. Boy, ain't God wise. You know, I don't think man had ever done it that way. God is saying, there's a battle going on with Satan we don't even understand. He's saying something like Satan, I'm going to tell you, you messed up everything I've ever tried to do as far as the creation of angels and, and human beings in my image. But I want you to know something. Behind the scene, I'm doing something going to blow your mind when I finish this thing. You think you've got everybody going your way and so forth? I've got a hidden inside through faith of my children that God is working in a way. It's going to blow your mind when this thing's over with. Satan thinks he's winning today. I'm so sure whatever happens, we're responsible in a lot of things. Whatever happens on this earth while we're here, if it happens like it happens, leading to something that God is fixing to do. Because he's in charge. Folks, I believe it. Hey, we're not in charge. Iran's not in charge. Syria's not in charge. They're just doing what they do, selfish or otherwise. God, who's in charge, you know what? He's going to come out on top, too. He's going to come out on top. So faith enables us to see and do what others cannot see. In this life, that we build with matter in the flesh. Faith looks to the future for that is where the greatest rewards are. And that's beyond this life. Faith enables us to approve of God, not this world. So in reality, faith honors God, and God honors faith. And I'm closing. Man will either believe man or believe God. And since most men don't believe that God exists, they're still thinking that man's going to be some type of super being before it's over with, ladies and gentlemen. But the Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, we'll either receive man's wisdom or God's wisdom. And God's wisdom, brother Tyler, is the one that's going to get us ahead. That's all there is to it. We're going to find ourselves getting ahead by believing God's wisdom. Oh, the world thinks that the world's wagging us so much that we don't know what we're doing. Thank God, if we didn't have this book, I don't know what we'd do. Bible faith demonstrates the eye of the mind that cannot be discerned by the eye of the body. Christianity, folks, and I know I'm going to be mocked, I can probably get some letters on this, but Christianity is true science in the visible and invisible world. Amen. Because it gives us answers if we believe. I don't have to go back and ask somebody who's got the ability to look in ways of checking in the past how this world was formed. I have Genesis 1:1. You say, we don't believe that. Well, you just wait and see. When God brings things around, you're going to find it's right. Now, when I say you, I mean those, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking to those who may not believe what we're saying. When I say you like that, it means those who don't believe what we're saying. And there'll be some that does not. Because always, intellectually, some people think they're a lot smarter than we are when we talk about spiritual things. And so God, we either be man or God. Bible faith demonstrates the eye of the mind that cannot discern by the eye of the body. And of course, Christianity is true faith. Faith is designed to serve the believer instead of sight. It serves us through our spiritual eyes. Romans 7:17 said, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God. I love that. God said something. Jesus said, if any man will do his will, God's will, you'll know the doctrine. That's what he said in John 7:17, whether it be of God. Now, I'll give you four questions. I'm going to give you four quick questions to use to an unbeliever before you discuss God any further. Because if this question is not answered right, you're wasting your time. I believe that. I've been in this thing 53 years. Ladies and gentlemen, number one is this. First thing we need to ask, do you believe that Jesus Christ has power to forgive sin? When I talk to a person about vision, knocking on the door, do you really believe? Somehow or another, cross, do you believe that Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sin? If he says, I don't know, then it's a good chance to move on to the next thing. If he says no, then we're going to deal with that. But if he says, I just don't know, then the next question, have you ever tried it? Because if you don't know, you never know unless you try him. I don't like the word try because believe is better, but I'm trying to show how to see, he don't understand believing in Christ. When you talk to the Lord. So, do you believe that Jesus Christ can forgive sin? Well, I really don't know. Well, have you ever tried him then? Because they understand trying things, right? Someone said, went out of here and you can't try Christ. I know you can't try Christ. We don't try. You either believe or don't. Amen? Trying something, you put it on trial. Why it don't work, you get rid of it. That's not what we do with Christ. We put him on. But the world don't understand birth. They're talking about trying. Are any of you trying physical birth right now? You didn't have no choice in it, did you? And if you're going to try, are you waiting until you can try death, see what it's like? No, sir. We understand We'd do more of this and more than that. And he said, have you tried him yet? No. Well, let me ask you something. Will you try him? Now, if they say yes, you can go on and say, well, let me show you how and what you can do. And let me tell you, when you get to it, it's not trying, it's believing. But if you go and say, will you try him? If he or she says, no, I am not going to try him. Then the next question is this, and he won't like it or she won't like it, but let me ask you something. Will you notice that you're a fool then? Well, what are you trying to do? Wait, before you get upset. I'm telling you, God says in Psalm 14:1. One that doesn't believe in God's a fool. And I'm just trying to wake you up. The fact is, I'm asking, God asked, would answer that question. Whatsoever a man doesn't believe in God is a fool. And this settles the matter right then. If he's not willing to acknowledge he's lost, and he's not willing to try to say, I believe that Jesus Christ can wash one from sin, and the Word of God you've tried so far to bring him to that place to see his need, if a person never sees their need to be lost, that they are lost, the odds are they never see the need to be saved. And that reason it took 3 years for God to tear down my wall. I was in church and everything else. This settles the matter. This person has denied everything about Christ that you want to assert, and until he begins to open the door to access him, there's no way in this world. When I say that, by his own heart, he can't do anything to himself to get saved. God's done it all. But I tell you this, you have to acknowledge that what God did is right, and God is holy, and what God did will save your soul. He'll do that, because he'll not save you unless you acknowledge that. And he didn't save me. I had 3 years until I acknowledged the fact God broke down those walls. So this settles it. There is no more ground for discussion. Faith chooses the spiritual over the material. Faith chooses the eternal over the temporary. If a person does not accept God's given substance and God's given evidence by faith, he has already made the wrong choice. Right? And even with Jesus Christ, there is no other remedy. If he doesn't accept it by faith, he's made the wrong choice. Moses chose the heavenly riches over Egypt's treasure. Remember that? In here in Hebrews 11, verse 26. He chose the heavenly things over the Egypt treasure. And our question comes, what have we chose? Listen to my radio. What have you chose? Upstream, what have you chose? What have we chose? Or, if you haven't chose, what will you choose? Because that's an important question. And I say God does bring changes in our lives when the proper biblical faith is applied. In Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And then he says to James to write, the Holy Spirit did in 2, verse 17. Just keep in mind, if you have true faith, faith without works is dead. Don't try to get works in front of faith. Get faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he tells us later how that could be done. When calls, God calls people to get the gospel out. He said, faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. And then when you get into the family, God says to James, as he preached to his own, wrote to his own parishioners, he said to them, I want you to understand something now. You've got this faith in Christ is established. If it's genuine faith, he says, faith without works is dead. In fact, he says, if you show me your faith, I'll know it by your works. Father in heaven, beloved Lord, this book is written not just for a few pastors that people try to raise money on, Lord. It's not written just for a few pastors to try to make us feel a certain way in the flesh, even though we're lost, and a lot of people across this country have preached to thousands to do that. Dear Lord, this book is written to help us first see our need, and God himself has done something for us that we can't do for ourselves. And once we trust Christ, there's a life that God has given us. There's been separation in this world so people could see the message that God has given us as we travel this side of eternity and time. My Heavenly Father, it's not been an easy message, but it's a true message. Help someone's faith to be strong today. Help someone go back. Lord, this what I've given here today is simple, but it takes eyes of faith to believe it. Holy Spirit, I pray that you have had the right away to exalt Jesus today. Because John 14, 16, both those chapters teaches us that's why you came, as Jesus taught. Heavenly Father, I pray somehow or another you as our Father and our God has been pleased this day on Sunday, the first day of this week, in the month of September. Somehow or another you can use it not only here, but in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other most parts of the world, by way of the radio, by the Ustream. Help someone see the day, Lord, the difference between just having access to the mind to believe that God exists and understanding that God says, I give substance to faith and I give evidence to it. The scientific mind, the substance is there. He just can't see it, but he can believe me and it's there. The actuality will come. The evidence, there's enough evidence. The heavens declare the glory of God, but Satan has a way of destroying that. Evidence is the proof of things, the reality. Dear Lord, we thank you for understanding that. Now, help us somehow or another to live as those things are, as we know they are, in actuality. You got a message to this world, and those who have access to a lot of ways are not given the right message. Please honor yourself today, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.